Welcome to the First Player Token Podcast, a short podcast for folks who enjoy playing board games with family and friends. I'm your host, Derek Bruff. In this episode, we board the Jolly Roger and steal treasure from a Spanish galleon in Tortuga 1667.
Pistol!
There we go.
You get to
reveal marine somebody.
Shoot,
is it anybody?
I will say David is familiar.
That sounds worse than maroon.
Being marooned. And so you might not hurt his feelings.
He's one of the captains.
So Will.
Oh!
It's fair.
Wow. Come join me on the island.
Point and finger. Well, I can't believe that was captain. A mutiny without being a mutiny.
I got promoted, though. Yeah. I'm now running the ship by myself.
That's very exciting.
I don't know after what you call a mutiny.
Almost 5 years ago, my friend Andy and I started organizing board game nights at our church, Otter Creek Church, here in Nashville. We wanted a way to connect with other guys at church and, you know, play a lot of board games. Pretty soon, our friend David joined the planning team, and we've been holding these game nights every month or two ever since. The COVID-19 pandemic slowed us down, but didn't actually stop us. When it was clear that COVID wasn't spread easily outdoors, we set up shop in the pavilion on the church grounds. We would each bring a laptop and sit at separate tables under the pavilion, playing digital versions of board games together on the website Board Game Arena. At that point in the pandemic, it was really great to hang out with friends again in person, even if some of those winter game nights were pretty darn cold. Flash forward to the last year of game nights at Otter Creek. We pretty consistently get 10 to 15 guys on a game night, including some regulars and some irregulars and almost always someone new. Challengers is a recent favorite, more on that in an upcoming episode, but the real MVPs have been the games of Facade Games. Facade Games is an independent game publisher, really just the husband and wife team of Travis and Holly Hancock. You might remember Travis from episode 29 of the podcast when he shared the origin story of Facade Games and talked about the development of their game, Bristol 1350. We love Bristol 1350 at Game Nights, but I think our collective favorite is another game in Facade's Dark Cities series, Tortuga 1667. Like Bristol 1350 and the other games in the series, Tortuga 1667 comes in a small box that looks like an antique book. It's named after a particular place and time, in this case, 1667 on the island of Tortuga, home to many of the pirates of the Caribbean. It has really beautiful production values with great art and components. It works really well at high player counts, all the way up to 9 players. And it has some clever hidden information elements. Facade currently has 5 games in their Dark Cities line, and I'm impressed at how they can so consistently incorporate all of these elements into their games.
All right, let me reveal number 1.
Oh, now I get to see. Is it what I think it is?
The Albatross.
It is.
Wait, where are you?
Not on your boat.
No, you are, though.
You are. Oh, that's right.
That's 2.
We're all marooned.
All players on a ship with 2 albatross on board are marooned. Hold on. Let me check the order.
Keep our order.
Let's see.
Wow,
albatross.
We're just having fun out on the island here.
Albatross. Oh, buddy. Wow. Mm.
Who's blue? This is going to be a race to the boat.
It says in the directions, if you possess 2 albatross cards and you enter a ship, everyone in the ship, including you, are immediately marooned. You are essentially a walking bomb, says that right there. Let's see. You reverse their rank order. So cabin boy goes first.
Interesting.
Yep.
Wow,
this is a dramatically imbalanced game of Tortuga.
Anyone can get off the island.
In Tortuga 1667, players take the role of pirates attacking Spanish ships near the island of Tortuga and stealing their gold, as pirates are wont to do. If there's an even number of players, half of them are secretly working for the British and half for the French. If there's an odd number of players, one player is secretly working for the Dutch. At the start of the game, you know which team you're on, but no one else does. As you play the game, triggering event cards, attacking the Spanish galleon, brawling on the island of Tortuga, and occasionally committing mutiny, you'll start to figure out who is on which team. There's treasure to be had in the game, and at the end of the game, triggered by the arrival of the Spanish Armada, through an event card somewhere at the bottom of the deck, the team with the most treasure wins. Unless you're that lonely Dutch player, in which case you win if there's a tie between the French and the British. Most hidden role games are asymmetric. Think about Mafia or Werewolf or whatever you call that game you played with big groups in college. There are a small number of bad guys on one team, they usually know who they are, and the rest of the players are trying to suss them out. Once the bad guys are known, it's all over for them. Tortuga 1667 isn't like that, however. The two teams, French and British, have an even number of players, and no one knows who's on their team when the game begins. A big part of the game is figuring out who's on what team a little faster than your rivals, so that you can play in ways that benefit your teammates. But the more obvious you play for your team, the more likely the other team is going to target you and keep you away from the treasure. So you have to be a little cagey in the actions that you take.
We can still never be on the same boat.
So Mike managed to clear out the treasure, and then David took out all the pirates. Jolly Rogers just...
That was the largest two-turn swing I've ever seen in this game.
It's a ghost ship now.
Wow.
It's a floater.
Oh, wow. Okay, so... It is my turn. I am captain, I am cabin boy, I have a letter of mark, I have lots of options here.
So your allegiance, what I will suggest, given what's happening here, is that you move...
I just cabin boy it.
And then I'm going to hop on a rowboat and actually block it, because...
You're going to block a rowboat?
No, I'm going to block anyone from
I'm
else
on you guys'
from
turn.
The ship.
Or I'm on you guys'
wait,
team
wait, are you
too,
suggesting
I'll
go
way.
There?
No, he's saying you'll move.
I love the tension this creates as you play. That guy just moved treasure into the French hold on one of the two pirate ships, but he also helped the captain of the ship, who is obviously British, win more treasure from the Spanish. Is he playing for the French team? Or is he British and trying to keep folks from guessing that? Or maybe he's the Dutch player aiming for a tie at the end of the game. There's also the fact that a player's actions are often constrained by the voting cards they draw. Maybe that player only backed the British captain because he was forced to by his voting cards. And keep in mind that you might have up to 9 players around the table, so you're keeping mental tallies of all the actions of all those players, trying to figure out who you can trust. It's so, so good. Another thing that separates this game from other hidden role games is that there's not much bluffing or calling of bluffs. Unlike a game like Mafia, most of the deduction in Tortuga 1667 comes through the actions that other players take, not what their face looks like when they take those actions. And there are a lot of different kinds of actions. Some using the event cards, some using the voting cards, and some involving movement around the simple game board. Even if you've figured out correctly which players are on which team, you'll still need to use those actions cleverly to actually win the game. I've played games where I had correctly sussed everyone out and my team still lost, and I've played games where I had lots of clever plays but lost because I had guessed incorrectly about a particular player's loyalty.
Steve.
So I would not encourage Brent to get on any boat whatsoever.
Oh yeah, he's a walking bomb.
So, yeah. Any boat, oh. Come on, get on now.
Wow.
What happens if there's 3 albatross in the same boat?
They
nuclear Armageddon.
They implode.
It's the Spanish Armada. Boop, 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 boop. No one expects the Spanish Armada. All right, so it is 2-2, tie ball game, which means we go into sudden death. So these all get shuffled. You continue play until one team has an advantage, and that team instantly wins. And right now, I'm really only sure of my allegiance, and I'm pretty sure Deward's on British. But other than that, it's a little. We're just gonna sit here and haunt us. All right.
So it's a Spanish Inquisition.
No one expects that.
Everyone expects the Spanish Armada. All right. So that was you, Steve, right? Or was that Phil?
That was me.
All right. Okay,
Mike.
Calling for a mutiny. Tortuga 1667 handles between 2 and 9 players, although I don't really recommend it with less than 5 players. It's a fine tactical game at the lower play counts, but the hidden roles really shine with at least 5 players. The box says that games will take between 20 and 40 minutes, but I don't think that would be a fun way to play. We usually have lots of pirate talk at our table, leading our games to take an hour or more. But the game flies even at the higher player counts because the turns are short and you're usually paying careful attention to what everyone at the table is doing when it's not your turn. The game is rated for ages 14 and up, but if you've got some savvy board gaming kids, I would go with maybe 10 and up. It's more complex than other facade games like Bristol 1350 and their most recent one, Hollywood 1947. But like those games, it's hard to give advice to a younger player because of all the hidden roles. I mentioned the production values on this game, but I need to rave about that again. The game box looks like an old book, which is really cool, especially when you have all five Dark Cities games lined up on your board game shelf. The board game is actually a thick neoprene playmat that rolls up when it's time to store in the box. The playmat is small, about 7 inches by 10 inches, and it has four main areas on it: the two pirate ships, the Flying Dutchman and the Jolly Roger, along with a Spanish galleon, that's a large multi-decked sailing ship according to Wikipedia, and the island of Tortuga. Each player has a simple wooden pawn in a different color representing where they are at any point in the game, on a pirate ship or on the island, and the wooden treasure tokens are painted gold. Then there are the cards, with beautiful illustrations of pirates and plunder by artist Sarah Keel. I'm amazed at the dynamic storytelling moments that can emerge from the various cards and systems in the game. You'll hear cries of anguish from players when a vote to attack goes wrong, and cheers of triumph when a player is voted out as captain of one of the ships. There's the event card that blows up one of the rowboats, completely changing the nature of movement in the game. And there's the albatross card, where if two of them are attached to players on the same boat, everyone on that boat gets dumped on Tortuga. There can be a lot of chaos in the game, but usually also opportunities to use that chaos to your advantage, which sounds like a pirate's life to me.
That's right.
But because if this is a successful attack,
then they win anyone.
Well, we need to see a cannon.
Fire.
Oh! David Dewar, which hold would you like to put your treasure in?
The Union Jack.
Wow, that's a win for Brits. David.
I did have an idea, and I was thinking this was our best bet for getting to a brawl.
I was trying to get a couple people here to get.
You were French?
Yeah,
see. That was a late game hint. That was a late game hint.
One more note, Facade Games is launching a Kickstarter for a deluxe version of Tortuga at the end of April 2024. This new edition will involve even fancier components, as well as a revised set of rules that sound really interesting. I'm sure we'll try the new rules at some point, but it's hard to imagine making this game any better than it already is. That's it for this episode of the First Player Token Podcast. See the show notes for photos of Tortuga 1667, as well as a link to buy a First Player Token coffee mug. And if you found this or any episode of the podcast useful, please share it on social media or with a friend. I've been your host, Derek Bruff. Thanks for listening. Now it's time to play some games.
I'm going to look at what I can do and waffle for a bit.
waffle right there. Yeah. Free action every turn. It's a waffle.
A pre-action.
Yeah. It's one of my favorites.